Today on Family Talk.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and welcome to our program, which we call Family Talk. We hope you're joining us 5 days a week for various topics and approaches to radio. Today's broadcast is going to be a bit different because we're going to hear from not one, but two men whom I admire greatly. They spoke at this year's National Day of Prayer Men's Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. That occurred in May of this year. And now, as some of you may know, Shirley and I have been associated with the National Day of Prayer for a long time. In fact, Shirley was the national chairperson for the National Day of Prayer for 25 years. And each year we have attended in that capacity. But this year, we were spectators because last year, Shirley passed the baton of leadership on to our dear friend, Ann Graham Lotz. I wish all of you could have attended the event this year in May because it's a 3-day event. It starts on Tuesday and runs through Wednesday night and then Thursday for the main event of the National Day of Prayer. But Wednesday morning is a prayer event for women and another one for men. And what we're going to let you hear today are the speakers that were featured at the men's event this year. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. General Jerry Boykin, who is currently the executive vice president of the Family Research Council, was the first speaker. We're only going to be able to let you hear about 8 minutes of his presentation, and then we will get to the second presentation. General Boykin proudly served in the U.S. Army for 36 years. During his career in the military, he was one of the original members of the U.S. Army's Delta Force, where he was privileged to command those elite warriors in combat operations, including the 1980 Iran hostage rescue attempt and the 1992 hunt for Pablo Escobar in Colombia, and most importantly, or most well known, a Black Hawk Down incident in Mogadishu, Somalia, in which General Boykin was wounded. From 2002 to 2007, he was the United States Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence under President George W. Bush. He's an ordained minister with a passion for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and encouraging Christians to become warriors in God's kingdom. General Boykin has written 2 books, but one of them that I hope you are familiar with or will read, Never Surrender, A Soldier's Journey to the Crossroads of Faith and Freedom. With that, let's listen to retired Army General Boykin on today's edition of Family Talk, and he was speaking again at the National Day of Prayer Men's Prayer Breakfast.
You said that I teach at Hampden-Sydney College. Well, I did for 10 years, and Monday was my last day. I am, they have fired me for the second time. Not kidding. They have fired me because I've taken a pretty direct stance on men going in women's bathrooms and the problem I have with that. And by the way, let me say that every man in America that either supports this directly as part of a state legislature or a city council, or that supports it by not doing anything, as far as I'm concerned, you're part of the problem. If you won't stand against evil, Psalms 94 says, who will rise up against this evil for me? Who will take a stand against these evildoers? And that is not talking to the secular world. That's talking to us. That's just like 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's talking to the church, my people. And we've got to stand up against this stuff. Now, so they fired me last year. And 8 days later, because of the reaction they got to it, they called me on the phone. I got off an airplane in Denver, Colorado, and the phone was blowing up. And the interim president of the college said, "What do I have to do to get you to come back so I can announce it today?" But the reason was because the Christians that said, "We're going to do something," they rose up against the school. Now, so they brought me back for a year, and now they fired me again. So I was done as of Monday, but that's okay. I trust the Lord, and I put it before the Lord, and the first time I actually questioned the Lord. I said, "What are you doing, God? What are you doing? I know I'm in a bastion of liberals here, but it would seem you'd want me to be here." And 8 days later, he showed me a miracle. Well, this time I put it before the Lord, and they fired me. But I still trust him. I still trust him. And that's the message that we've got to get out to people. You either trust God or you don't. And you either know that he's got a plan or you don't believe that he's got a plan for your life. You don't believe that if you're willing and you're willing to put yourself at his disposal and submit yourself to his authority, that he's going to answer your prayer in the way that best suits his purpose. And that is a hard message for us to get to the people that we influence. You see, in 1993 in Mogadishu, Somalia, the man right next to me during the Black Hawk Down events was killed. I was wounded. I went down. When I got to my feet, I was knocked out for just a second. I've been hitting the feet and the legs by a mortar, and he was killed, and several others were wounded, some rather severely. And I said, "God, why did you take that man? Why didn't you take me?" I said, "Why did you take that man? He's got young children. My children are grown." I said, "I'm ready to go. I don't know about him. Why'd you take that man?" And I asked God that question so many times over and over. Why did you take him, Lord? Why didn't you take me? And I never got an answer to that. So why did you take him, not me? I didn't talk to anybody about it. I didn't talk to my pastor. I didn't talk to my wife. I didn't talk to any of my buddies about it. And then I came to work at the Family Research Council in 2012. The summer of 2012, I came here after telling Tony no three times. In fact, I got kind of huffy with him and said, "What part of no are you struggling with, Marine?" See, Tony's a Marine, which means he's persistent, but, you know, big words like no are not his forte. And I said, "Okay, fine." Just, he wore me down, and I finally said, "I'll come up here." I came up here in July of 2012. Sitting up in my office on August 15th of 2012, and I heard three gunshots. Boom, boom, boom. How many of you have walked out there and seen the gunshots in that lobby? I went running down to the lobby. I saw Leo Johnson down, our building manager, down with his knee on the neck of a big man with a pistol laying in front of him and blood everywhere. Blood everywhere. Leo had been shot through the arms. If you haven't seen the bullet holes, there's two of them out there. The third bullet went in his arm, but the others are out there in the library right now. And as I anticipated, what to do? Pick up that pistol and just go ahead and shoot this guy, because I clearly would have been justified to do so. Leo's bleeding profusely. And by the way, this guy later told the judge that he targeted us because we were a hate group, because we believed in biblical, natural marriage. We were a hate group, and he was from an LGBT group, and he came in this building to kill as many of us as possible. He had 100 rounds of ammunition with his Glock 9mm pistol and 15 Chick-fil-A sandwiches, which he said to the judge he was going to rub in the faces. And Tony and I were the primary targets, no question. I stood there contemplating what to do for just a moment, and the police came running in, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And the Holy Spirit said, "This is why I spared you. This is why I spared you. I spared you to fight another day. I spared you for this fight. I prepared you for this fight. And I spared you there that day in Mogadishu so that you would be part of this fight, because this is the fight that really counts. This is the fight for the soul of America. This is the fight for who we are as Christians. And I spared you to fight this. Now do what I've called you to do." You know what? I didn't see that in 1993. I had no idea. It never occurred to me that maybe I was spared for a reason. Maybe it wasn't by coincidence. Maybe there was a reason that God spared me. And the truth of the matter is, if you go back and look at Jeremiah 51:50, and you go to the ESV version, it says, "For you have been spared from the sword. Now go. Do not stand still." Isaiah 51:50, go. We've been spared from the sword, you know that? Think about it. We have been spared from the sword. Now go. Go what? Go where? Wherever God leads you to do whatever God's called you to do. And that's a message we got to get out to people today, because we've got a window of opportunity. This is about a country that was ordained by God, and this is about us doing all we can as faithful Christians and prayer warriors to spare this country and underpin the leadership of this country. It's my privilege to spend a few minutes with you this morning. May the Lord bless you, and thank you.
Well, again, that was General Jerry Boykin speaking at the National Day of Prayer Prayer Breakfast this last May, and he's the first of the two presenters that we want you to hear today. Next, we're going to hear from Jeff Eckert. Jeff is founder of a ministry called Claim Your Campus. In 2009, Jeff felt the call of God to take weekly prayer meetings to schools across the nation. Since then, Claim Your Campus has reached more than 250,000 students, and they have trained more than 10,000 students to claim their campus through prayer. And he has some significant words about healing for our young people and our nation. Here now is the second presenter, Jeff Eckert, as we continue with the topic of prayer today on Family Talk.
Well, it's good to be amongst men today. And I say that as a father of three daughters. This doesn't happen to me very often, to be in this environment with a wife and then a dog who's also a female as well. So this is good for me. And it's good to see some beards out there, too. It makes me feel at home. I'm privileged to lead us today. And I want to share a couple things with you as we go into this idea of healing. I have the honor to work with students all over the country with Claim Your Campus. Claim Your Campus is raising up students to pray at their schools. And it was just mentioned in our prayer time. God, forgive us for removing prayer from schools. And what students are doing through Claim Your Campus is they're taking prayer into the hallways of schools across America. Just recently, four high school students shared their story with me as a year ago they started Claim Your Campus prayer groups on their school campus. This is an urban, very diverse school. 85% of the students from this student body don't live with their paternal father, with their biological father. 85% in this particular school. They began to pray for healing on their campus. They began to pray through the prayer strategies offered through Claim Your Campus, some specific things, in particular, healing from the culture of violence at this school, at their school, and praying for an increased passion for academics on their campus. Well, a few weeks ago, the students came to me and they said, we want to tell you what our principal, vice principal, and some teachers, they approached us and they said, we know what you've been doing in the last year. We know that you've been praying. We want to tell you two things that we see in this school that have changed since you've been praying. Number one, there's only been one fight at this school in this whole school year that's been previously filled with violence. And we attribute it to your God that you're praying to. We have received academic excellence awards from individual students, but more importantly, as a school in the last year that we've never received in the history of the school, and it's because of your prayers. We know in this room that God answers prayers. And I hope that I offer you hope today, this morning, as we gather here to pray for our nation, that God is bringing about healing in campuses across America with a young generation of students that are seeking the face of God. And I'm thrilled by that. I hope you are as well, because we want to see another generation of young, not only men, but also women, that can follow in our footsteps to call upon this God to heal our land. Now, it's interesting when Dion and I talked about this idea of healing and leading today, God spoke to me something very specifically, I think about 2 or 3 months ago when I was attending my home congregation in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And it was kind of out of the blue, but the Lord said something to me. He whispered in my spirit and he said, I am ready to heal this nation. But then he also said, but are you ready to receive that healing? The Lord really impressed upon me, God is ready to heal our nation. But that's another thing for us to receive that healing. And he led me to a passage that I'd like to share with you. It's in Mark chapter 9. And in Mark chapter 9, Jesus is approached with this scene where there's an argument happening. And in Mark chapter 9, verse 14, it says, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of the religious laws were arguing with them. And when the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. And Jesus said, what are you arguing about? And they said, one of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit and won't let him talk. Whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground, and he foams at the mouth, and he grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they could not do it. And Jesus said to them, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy. When the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child in a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked. And he replied, since he was a boy, the spirit throws him into the fire or into water trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. And if you're familiar with this passage, Jesus says, well, what do you mean if you can? Anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that makes the boy unable to hear and speak, he said, I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. And this is the part I want to focus on, what happens here. Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him, and the boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Now, a lot of times, especially in the circles of prayer, this is the part that we focus on, this side conversation afterwards, where it says, afterward, Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, and they asked him, why couldn't we cast out the evil spirit? And Jesus replied, this can only be cast out by prayer. And although we understand the power of prayer, the focal point I want us to think about is what happened to this young man after he was healed. We know he was healed and prayer was the only solution. Jesus clearly says that. But did you notice that his response from this healing was that most people in that crowd looked at him and said, Jesus just killed a man. Jesus just killed this boy. They thought he was dead. The NIV translation says he was like a corpse. And there he was. And it reminded me that healing can be intense. It can be painful. It can be costly. We're going to pray for healing in a few moments. And if you've ever experienced any deep wound or disease, I think the idea is the greater the wound, the greater the need, the deeper the issue, the more painful that healing process can be for us. It's not easy sometimes to receive healing because it comes with pain. And all growth goes through the process of pain. If we want to grow in any area, there's going to be pain involved. And I was thinking about our time today. Our nation needs healing. Amen? Has there ever been a time in your life where you've been able to say there was a greater need for healing than now? Has there ever been a time when you've seen more division in the church, in the body of Christ? Has there ever been a time when the laws have not reflected the laws of God? Has there ever been a time when you've seen more distraction, more open transgression, more lack of repentance? And I believe our prayer today isn't to ask for God to heal us, because I believe that's His plan. I believe our prayer today for healing is to ask that we would be prepared to receive the healing that God wants. And I want to appeal to you as men today. I want to appeal to you that our role here in the next few moments is to stand on behalf of our nation and to pray that God would prepare His people to receive the healing that He wants to bring to the United States of America. God wants to bring healing. I don't think the barrier is His desire. I think the barrier is our ability to receive whatever that He would want to do as He wants to heal our land. So here's what I'm going to ask for the next few moments, that you would pray that the church would be prepared for America's healing. This healing process might be painful, and those of us that have wisdom, that are led by the Spirit within the church, we need to recognize that this painful process is a process that's leading towards life. Pray that we could receive it. Pray for wisdom to know the difference between appearance and reality. Most of those people on that witnessed that healing saw a dead person, but Jesus saw life. He knew that healing process had to take its effect. So may we pray for God's wisdom to know the difference. So I'm going to say those again. One of these that might jump out to you, I'm going to ask you just to take it and to pray for it on your own. Pray for the church to be prepared for America's healing. Pray that we could receive His healing. And third, pray for wisdom to know the difference between appearance and reality. And I'm going to ask you to take a posture of humility as we think about the things that we want to pray for. You know, as we were praying earlier, I thought to myself, when I gather here every year, I'm overwhelmed with all the issues that are happening in our nation, how we've redefined marriage, how we've devalued life, the division within our body, the things that we've already mentioned. May we come to God with a sense of humility. And I'm going to ask, if you're able, to literally bow in humility next to your chairs as we gather here today and ask for God's healing. So would you bow with me if you're able, and let's just ask for God's healing in our nation.
Well, our time has expired for today. Thanks so much for joining us. You can find out more about Family Talk, along with helpful resources and all our past broadcasts, on the website. In other words, the archives since the beginning of this program are available, as well as other information. You can find out about that at drjamesdobson.org. If this topic today struck a chord with you, call our listener feedback line and share with us how God is blessing you or any of the needs that you might have. Dial toll-free 844-823-2669. I'm James Dobson. I pray God's blessings on you and that you'll join us again next time on Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Let me give you a guilt-free drop today. All marriages are going to go through times of disaffection, when you don't feel close or warm or in love. What do you do during those times? Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Our new Family Talk iPhone app is designed especially to uplift your marriage in a way that makes it easy for husbands and wives to find great resources and to be encouraged. This customized Family Talk app tailors content to where you are in your life right now. Whether you're a husband or wife, dad, mom, this Family Talk app will provide you with daily inspiration to strengthen your marriage and invest, by the way, in the lives of your children. Go to drjamesdobson.org/app right now and download your free customized Family Talk app today.